Maybe not.
In Washoe Valley, usually will.
I'm just really trying to.
It's so fast.
Experiencing upside down weather, they're like. Maybe this is not the year to get on the ice.
No, it's still.
It's still frozen, there you go.
When I say warm.
Oh, yeah.
I never get that.
That's once.
Yeah.
Been all my years.
Hi, Las Vegas. How are you? So I believe we'll call the meeting to order and get started so that we can finish as close to five as the agenda promises. We'll see. Let's do the roll call first. Sharon?
Justice Hartstein?
Present.
Judge Marquis? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Is Judge Marquis there?
Present.
Oh, okay, great, thank you. Judge Ochoa?
Here.
Judge Schreiner?
Here.
Judge Sterman?
Here.
Judge Walker? Karen Kelly?
Here.
Shelley Register?
Present.
Deborah Ammons? Jim Berthold? Jim Berthold? Okay, Elizabeth Brickfield?
Here.
Hank Cavallaro?
Present.
Lynn Hughes? Michael Keane?
Here.
John Michelson?
Here.
Jennifer Salem?
Here.
Jennifer Rains?
Here.
Dania Reed?
Here.
Jennifer Richards?
Here.
Mary Bryant? Lydia Haschef? Barry Gold?
Here.
Oh, Barry.
Paula Woodrum?
Present.
Okay, Kate McCluskey?
Present.
Mallory Nelson?
Present.
Robin Sweet?
Here.
Andreas Moses?
Here.
Judge Porter? Okay, is there anybody else in attendance that I didn't call a name for?
Tracy Bowles, Washington County Public Guardian.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else down in Las Vegas?
Yes, this is Barbara Buckley.
Hi, Barbara.
And Sabrina Sweet, Second Judicial.
Oh, I missed you, I'm sorry. I went back to add you today, I still didn't do that, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, I think that's everyone.
Great, thanks everybody for being available for today's meeting. Let me begin by asking if there are any edits to the meeting summary that was previously circulated for the meeting of September 23rd, 2019. Does anybody have any edits to those minutes? And if not, is there a motion?
I move we accept the minutes.
Okay, Judge Schreiner moves to approve the minutes.
I second.
Mr. Cavallaro seconds. Any comment or questions? All in favor, just signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right.
Another person has entered the room.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Jim Hartshaw.
Hi, Jim. Welcome. You haven't missed much, except that whatever you said in the last meeting has now been approved by the commission, and you can't change it.
I'll live with it, then.
Okay. okay. You all have reports from the 2nd and the 8th Judicial District compliance officers. Is there anything you'd like to highlight or comment about, Mallory or Sabrina?
I have little to add, just that the initial status report, the addendum to that September 2019 compliance report, it just demonstrates how our numbers can fluctuate when you account for correcting docket codes and then reports and accountings that may be filed from the exact time the report is generated to 3 to 4 weeks from that time.
Sure. Are there any unaccounted for minors, Sabrina, at this stage?
There are, Justice Hardesty, and that is one of our biggest efforts that we're focusing on right now is keeping those unknown minors and guardians right now. We have 85 children that we do not know where they are. And I just spoke with Ms. McCloskey today from the Guardianship Compliance Office. We'll be able to take another 10 cases at this time, and then we're finding anywhere from 5 cases a month to our private officers.
Yes, that's good. Okay, great. Thanks. Do any members of the commission have any questions for the second on their reports? Okay, hearing none. Judge Marquis, would you like to take the lead on the 8th District? Do you have anything that you would like to add or highlight with respect to the 8th Judicial District's compliance reports?
I don't know. I also, the concerns or conundrum of the second that within days our compliance numbers can shift based on document codes or documents being filed. So although we provided some statistics, those change throughout the day and many times. We are still tracking those missing or unaccounted for minors. And that remains a priority for us. I think I found out today that our contract with legal aid for minor representation is on the consent agenda for the Clark County Commission on February 4th. So that could aid us in taking care of some of those minor cases a little bit more expediently.
And as I understand it, you filled some of your investigator positions, is that right?
We've hired 3 investigators. We have a new compliance director that's beginning next month. We built a dynamic team and we're excited moving forward after February.
And what is Clark County's unaccounted for minors, if you know that number?
I don't know that number right now. We're working on that number. We have such a significant amount, 932 new case filings. It's significant. So we don't know that they're quote unquote missing under your definition until they fail to file their annual report. Many times that failure to file the annual report doesn't mean they're necessarily missing. It just means they're missing from us. It takes us a lot of manpower to hunt them down. When they are here, they're still with the guardian. They just changed their address and moved and didn't tell us. And so that takes a lot of manpower to find them. Or they moved out of state, or they didn't think they needed to terminate the guardianship and they're back with the parents here in Las Vegas and everybody's on board. We just need the paperwork to finalize that termination. So it's kind of a number that changes from day to day, just as I talked about those, the numbers for compliance change based on the hour of the day. We're tackling those, starting with the oldest cases and the number of days out of compliance, and the newest cases, trying to devise a new system under which we will attack them and find them much quicker than before.
Great. I wanted to express my appreciation to you for all the work you've been doing to try to move this process forward, and your staff as well, and appreciated the formatting of the reports we received. I know that they're a snapshot, but their similarity to the ones that are being used by the second is really helpful in tracking these things and not having to reinterpret what it is you're trying to capture and why. So thank you for all of that. Are there any questions, or does anybody on the commission have anything they'd like to ask Judge Marquis or her staff about their statistics?
Homa Woodrum for the record. I was just excited to see the 21 to 40 day settings for initial petitions. I know that's something the hospitals and other entities were raising issues about, but really the statistics show that people are getting seen and heard in a timely manner, and it doesn't really necessitate these emergency guardianships as much.
Yeah, it's pretty limited. Any other questions or comments? Okay, well, thank you, Judge. So let's go on then to Ms. McCloskey and the state guardianship compliance information. McCloskey, do you want to comment about this report or any additional statistics?
I do have some additional statistics. I heard back from Elko County on there. What they've expended. They weren't able to give me a total of what is expended. They have a $60,000 annual contract with a private attorney to provide counsel. I believe they're also using Nevada Legal Services.
Okay.
So they did get back to me on that. A lot of the rural counties do have contracts with either their public defender or another attorney. What I kind of learned is a lot of the counties are pooling kind of all their legal funds together into that contract.
It seems like there is quite a bit of unused investigator money, though, throughout the state.
Yeah, and with a lot of the districts that have gotten back have said they've been using us, and we've seen an uptick in rural orders coming through as well.
Requesting your services?
Yeah.
Okay.
They represent right now about 25% of the orders that we receive.
Okay. Anything else on that point?
Nope.
Any other statistical information you want to add?
Well, I could give you an overview of where we're at currently for this fiscal year, state fiscal year,
yes,
if you'd like. So we've received 122 orders throughout the state, and we've done 145 reports of findings in the first 6 months. So we've done 63 orders for adults, 59 for minors, so it's pretty well split there. And like I said, the rurals are around 25%, whereas the urbans, Washoe and Clark, are 75% of what we've received thus far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions for Ms. McCloskey?
I just had one question. I noted it says Lincoln County reported that all fees collected were remitted to the state, but that's the only county, correct?
That's the only county. Initially, Carson told us that, and then we found the correct person, and they were able to correct that information for us. So we've been unable to track where in the state, they remit to the treasurer's office, but they can't tell us where that specific fund goes because they don't have a specific fund for that because it's supposed to be held at the county level. So we're having difficulty finding out what happened to that money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Ms. McCloskey? Yes, Jennifer.
Jennifer Richards, for the record, do you keep any statistics on your financial investigations and the amount of monies that you've found to be misappropriated?
Yes. So, and that's a tough one, because it'll ebb and flow depending on when the information goes into the tracking system, and that's usually when the audit is complete. And then if we do additional reports, oftentimes our audits will go on for a long time. So, or we're involved for a long time, like in the case we were involved in, it was over a year. So those monies kind of continue because it's in the case record. But it's a good indicator of what we've seen. So for this past 6 months, between July and December, the audits that we were working on, the total estate was over $17 million.
And we identified about 1.5 million at risk of loss. So that could be anything from there's blatant exploitation to a family didn't know the rules and maybe spent money when they shouldn't have or didn't get court approval.
So. Okay. Any other questions for Ms. McCloskey? I believe there have been two newspaper articles written recently about where do we stand with respect to guardianship, whether we're making progress, kind of an accountability follow-up by the press. I saw one of the articles. I haven't seen the other, but I told there was one out there. And by and large, the reports seem to be pretty positive that the efforts that were made in 2015 and 17 and 19 and now with the commission are producing positive results. I had one follow-up. But how many calls have we received on the 800 number?
Almost 100.
Really? Okay. Since it started.
Since it started.
That's interesting.
But there is, we've seen a little uptick in terms of what we consider a hotline call. It's not just the 800 number because mm-hmm. my number is also on the website, so people will be lined directly to me, so I'll include those as well. But one area where we're seeing increased reporting is from Adult Protective Services when they substantiate. They contact us, and we're able to notify judges that there's been a substantiation.
Great.
And they're able to take action. So that's been a positive thing since the ex parte rule.
Any other questions for Kate?
This is Jack Marquis. Is it my understanding that you just indicated that in Washoe County, Adult Protective Services calls the hotline to notify you of the status of the investigation, and then that information goes to the judge?
Adult Protective Services statewide can do that. It's actually been out of Carson City and Churchill that we've actually gotten the reports.
Okay.
Yeah, if they substantiate, they're starting to contact us, or I believe they were contacting Washoe Legal and Washoe as well.
Have you any contacts from Clark County?
Adult Protective, no, I haven't.
Okay.
And I haven't, but I will starting tomorrow.
Might be worth noting. Okay. Anything else then for Kate? All right. Thanks, everybody. Let's move on then to plans by Washoe and Clark County. We have this new funding that commenced under SB 20, and it is a combined source for investigators and attorneys in minor guardianship matters. Washoe County, Judge Schreier.
Thank you. So we have a memo as part of the materials that really outlines this. Just to break it down, the attorneys for the minors, we have met with Mr. Conway of Washoe Legal Services, and right now they are able to take on almost all of the appointments. I meant to grab the numbers. If Sabrina knows them off the top of her head, she can let me know. But it's been quite a few, certainly more than perhaps Mr. Conway anticipated. But and then the ones we haven't, if they don't cover it, they are passing them on to their pro bono panel.
Mm-hmm.
And you have them here. Okay, so November was a busy month. I have 15 children getting attorneys, and then two in December. So they're handling all that. So far, the funding that we're really focused on here is for the investigators, and that's what this is laying out each year, what we will receive estimated and how much we will spend. I would say about 35% of our initial cases we're appointing on based on the facts. And then once I see folks, if there is controversy, I'll appoint. So with this, we will be using the amount of funding we receive each year, but we will have a bit of a balance because we hadn't started right away, which I appreciate because the numbers are going up. We've gone up. We had 324 new applications last year. Yeah. So that's, which is interesting. I was noting that that's almost half of what Las Vegas has. So that would be interesting for Judge Marquis and I to compare why we think that is, because of course that shouldn't be quite that ratio.
Right.
Yeah. So we're pleased with this plan, but would happy to have any feedback, other thoughts or ideas.
I don't have any. I appreciate the fact that we're planning on how to use these dollars.
And yes.
I'll just ask Ms. McCloskey to work with you or your staff to track the projections for the money received as to what actuals turn out to be. Because yes. I think that'll be important in the next session as to whether there's a need to request additional dollars or not.
Okay. And I certainly won't limit appointments based on, I'm just going to keep appointing as we need them. And so we have the
whatever numbers. The demand requires, yeah. Whatever the case requires, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, no, shouldn't be governed entirely by dollars. It looks like you've got a pretty good reserve here anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Any questions for the judge on this plan for Washoe? Judge Marquis, you want to give the commission an overview of what's taking place in Clark?
We've contracted with Nevada Legal Services, and I mentioned earlier that contract's on for approval right now on the consent agenda for the commission. Legal Aid of Southern Nevada.
I was thinking, oh my gosh.
Buckley was a little bit concerned about the contract at this point, but. So that should be sorted out in just a few weeks and confirmed, hopefully, and remains on the consent agenda. We've hired the three investigators for the minor cases and have been assigning them cases. They've received, at this point, about 35 cases. We expect that to increase dramatically as they ramp up. They have all undergone human trafficking training, which is something that's important to me in the minor guardianship case type. They will continue with some other specialized training in domestic violence and some other areas so that we can make sure that they're trained specifically for what they're going out and seeing in for our constituents in Clark County. We will start kind of a ramping up process in the next few months. As legal aid, and Ms. Buckley can speak to that, as more attorneys, and then we're training our investigators, and everybody's working at 150%. So we expect much more to report in the next 6 months or so.
Judge, I understand that the district has a new compliance officer.
The district does, and that person will start in February.
Do you want to inform the commission of who that person is and what her background is?
Well, I stole her from the Supreme Court, if that's what you're alluding to. Her name.
I'm not alluding to anything, except I'm plenty ticked off, nevertheless.
I understand. I wasn't going to say her name on purpose. I was hopeful this would go right under your radar, Justice, but as it hasn't, I am just thrilled. I think there was actually dancing in my office when she accepted the position.
I can understand why, because Ms. Anderson is an extraordinary person, an extraordinary auditor and accountant, and it's been a privilege to work with her. And as much as the Supreme Court will miss her, I'm delighted that she found a quality home to go work for and to expand her career with. So congratulations to you, and I think it'll be a wonderful addition to your staff.
Thank you so much. We are just beyond thrilled.
I can understand that. I'm equally not as thrilled. But no, actually I am. I'm happy for Stacy because I love her. She's just terrific. And we're really happy for her to expand her career in this way. Okay, any questions? I know, I don't know whether Mr. Berthold or Barbara have anything to add. I know that, I think you've already been getting some cases, haven't you? Minor cases?
We've received a few. Five, 10, maybe something in that neighborhood. Most of them are kind of financial messes. That's a legal term. But we're really looking forward to the contract and beginning to hire, because with the volume that we have down here, if we're going to accept every new minor guardianship case, which is the goal, that is going to require a very large effort. So we're excited about the opportunity and are looking forward to assembling a top-notch team as we did in the adult guardianship world, and to learn a lot about the case type.
I had the privilege of visiting with Barbara about some numbers last week. Barbara, would you share with the commission the number of attorneys you have and the number of cases, adult cases, that you've got?
Well, we now have 15 attorneys in the adult guardianship unit, led by Deborah Bookout, who is here, and by Jim. We hired two of these attorneys in April, two in May, one in June, two in July, and one in August. We have a very nice mix of brand new lawyers who are enthusiastic, and more experienced lawyers, including two who have done guardianship in other states for decades. So we have a really nice mix of lawyers. Last year, we opened 1,106 cases and helped 2,201 protected persons. Our current caseload is at 1,892 and growing. November and December, we opened 308 cases alone, just in those 2 months. So it is growing, and I think going extremely well despite the speed. And most of that, I think, is just the quality of the lawyers that we've been able to assemble. Judge Marquis and I were just talking about it prior to the meeting. Some of them are just beginning to hit their stride, right? They're a year or two out, and they're just doing a really good job getting used to the program.
Great. To circle back, Mallory, do you have the number of cases that have been accepted by Washoe Legal Services?
On page 13 of the reports, within the last 12 months, we reflect an appointment of counsel 419. That number might be just a little bit higher, just because at initial appointment, we add the four, I guess now three, Washoe Legal Services attorneys at once, so it gets counted like three appointments, and once we get a notice of appearance, we close out the other two.
Sure. So the thing that's astounding about all of this is we've got about just short of 3,000 people who received lawyers that were proposed protected persons. And actually, it's a little higher than that because some of those cases have closed out. Rather remarkable thing. But thank you for your service and your work there and for the update. Are there any additional questions from commission members to Judge Marquis or Barbara or Deborah or Jim? Okay, then let's move on to item number six. I had asked Judge Schreiner, Judge Marquis, to confer with Judge Porter and Sabrina regarding some jurisdictional edits to the statute to accommodate some of the jurisdictional issues. Thank you all for working on that. You have a draft under item six of the amendments that they have proposed. Judge Schreiner or Judge Marquis, would you like to comment on this? who'd like to begin?
Shall I begin, Judge Markey?
Yes, please.
Okay. We did have a meeting, a teleconference with the four of us, Judge Porter as well, and Sabrina, and reviewed the need. Certainly, it's a need we see a lot, and we're really having to piecemeal it right now. So folks that move into Nevada, where obviously we have a transient population, they need to get enrolled in school, go to the doctor, and right now we're kind of trying to work with temporary orders and other things. Another concern we had is that there's also no mechanism in the current law to have them come in for a hearing if you already have a guardianship somewhere else. So, and then finally, we had a concern about the home state language not fully reflecting the UCCJEA, which is the national definition of home state. And that statute gives a lot of instructions and definitions and emergency jurisdiction possibilities. So we wanted to pull that in. So the current statute that we're really trying to work with, since we can't make the changes yet, is the first one on page two. The first page of this is just the memo. So 159A.0487 lists out the types of guardians. And currently there is this interesting section here where we can give guardian to a person who, although is not a resident, they're physically present. We're obviously suggesting we add in home state language and best interest language, but until we're waiting for the legislative session, that does allow us to grant these. And then the next piece is pulling over the adult guardianship statutes into the minor guardianship statutes.
I'll say something when you're not talking.
Or just join.
Oh, super.
I think that's
it. Oh, hi.
Hi there. This is Deborah Amons from ELCO. We had some technical difficulties, but it looks like I'm on. I can see you guys.
We can see you.
Thank you, Deborah,
okay,
for
great.
Joining us.
Yes.
All right. And so just to finish up, the other piece is pulling over those statutes from the adult guardianship, the transfer of jurisdiction, and then also the registration. That would be extremely useful because that actually gives us an entire mechanism, which is what we wanted. So rather than recreate the wheel, we would propose that those changes take place.
Judge Markey, anything you'd like to add?
The only thing that I would like to add is that we did leave the ability to register a foreign judgment for purposes of enforcement. That is important in some areas, especially those cities or states. The cities that are on the state line. I know there's a couple up north, and here we have Laughlin. I've seen more and more issues where we're trying to enforce that foreign guardianship because there's certain things within the guardianship that need to be enforced here. So we want to draw a real distinction between the registering of a foreign judgment and transferring the guardianship from another state.
Okay, does anybody on the commission have any questions regarding the proposed edits or amendments to the legislation? Yes, Michael.
Looking at 159A.0487, Section 2, which provides that a guardianship can be imposed or granted when the protected minor does not have Nevada as a home state. Going off the top of my head, but the Adult Uniform Jurisdiction Guardianship Act, the Uniform Act, not the one that was adopted by Nevada, has an interim provision that allows for guardianship in this state when it is not the home state, but there are conditions such as there cannot be a prior proceeding pending in the home state. And I think there's a notice provision in the home state where you give notice, and maybe I'm blending my ideas or my memory's wrong, but there's a provision there, and it looks like under this language, the court could technically grant a guardianship in this state, even though it's not the home state, and there's another guardianship happening in another state. And I'm wondering if tracking that jurisdictional act, the Uniform Act, to provide for that interim jurisdiction in the rare case that it's needed.
So those are similar provisions to what's in the UCCJA. So my thinking, based on what you said, is perhaps adding in something to number two that states that we will following the UCCJA, because I just had a hearing where we had a call with Oregon because there was one started here in Oregon, and we had to figure that out. And so we are actually using that. I think we should put that here.
And I, for the record, I'm not familiar with the UCCJA, and that's not my area of practice, and there may be provisions in there that address this.
But I think it's probably worth pointing that out. Judge Marquis or Judge Porter, do you want to comment on that?
I agree. The UCCJEA requires the judges to have a conference on the record and make a decision jointly regarding jurisdiction and then move forward. So that's what we're doing now in those minor cases. Whether there's a domestic case, a CPS case, or any other case where any court has taken action, even if it's emergency action, before I act in the guardianship case, which is why you'll see cases take longer than 30 days to reach adjudication.
Okay.
So any other questions or observations or edits from commission members? With that change, and I know you don't have the precise language in front of you, I wasn't intending to schedule another meeting of the Guardianship Commission until after September 1st. By September 1st, the Judicial Council will have to have submitted its list of BDRs to the legislature. So if what I would propose and request is that Judge Schreiner and Judge Marquis revise the language, and I'm going to ask Sharon to circulate a revised draft of the statute by email to the commission members with a request that you promptly respond with a yes or no vote. No edits, just vote her up, yes or no. And then if there is a majority of the commission supporting it, then we'll put it on the list of legislation that the commission will pass on to the Judicial Council when they begin their legislative discussions, probably starting in May or June. Does anybody object to that procedure?
Justice Hardesty?
Yes.
It's John Michelson. I have had a case that involves some of that, but I don't remember it right now, and I should have paid better attention to this, but can I just ask those that are working on it, do these amendments kind of take into account the wishes and the desires of the proposed protected person or the protected person?
That's the first of the best interest factors, okay. They're of sufficient age and capacity.
Okay. I know sometimes people can tussle in different states over, the guardianship, different relatives file, and obviously, if that comforting to know that's taken into account. Because sometimes
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say that my recollection of the statute is that sometimes one state could potentially obtain jurisdiction, and maybe if it didn't have some of these factors, that might not be what the person wants. But it was just, it's kind of like a first to file thing. So I'm glad that there's some of those factors in there.
Does Judge Marquis's response satisfy your question?
Yes.
Well, you'll get another opportunity, John, to take a look at the edits when Sharon sends them out. Okay.
May I make a comment?
Yes, Michael.
Michael Keane, just a comment that what I think we're doing here, and I'm in support of this language and this type of interim jurisdiction where a person is found here, but it's not their home state. But I think my comment is we should just be aware that we are now diverting the minor guardianship on this issue from what's been established in the adult guardianship, in it, which does not provide for that interim jurisdiction based on being here. It actually has to be your home state.
Yes,
It's, yeah.
Yeah, under the Uniform Adult Guardianship Jurisdiction Protective Proceeding Act, right?
Okay. All right, then if that procedure's okay, we will ask Judge Schreiner, maybe within a couple of weeks, you and Judge Marquis, if you have time, to check that language, send it to Sharon if, when the two of you are satisfied, and then Sharon will do a poll of the commission.
Okay.
Okay?
We will do that.
All right, thank you very much. All right, then let's move on, if we could, to supported decision-making. There had been a request since our last meeting to perhaps have some parents address the commission and look at this issue in relationship to SDM packets with school districts. I wanted to repeat, I'd asked for public comment earlier. At least I think I did. If I didn't, I should have. But are there any parents here who wanted to address the commission about supported decision making or their school district issues? Okay. I am of the view that this issue is not within the purview of the Permanent Guardianship Commission. And I intend to drop this subject matter from further agendas. There are a lot of problems surrounding the guardianship, many of which have been tackled, but this is not in our bailiwick, in my view. So I don't have any intention to have the commission strike out in trying to solve or address these issues with the school districts. I was curious, though, from maybe Judge Schreiner or Judge Marquis or Judge Ochoa or Judge Sherman, are you still getting a lot of requests for guardianships just to satisfy requests from school districts?
Yes.
And that was Judge Marquis who responded, or?
Yes, it was Judge Marquis. I've seen a lot. Because the Clark County School District until you're 22 under certain circumstances, and many of those situations, that 18 to 22 year old, the district is requesting a guardianship for further services.
Okay. Hank, did you want to comment?
Only to the extent that my understanding is that Washoe County is the only school district that has embraced this concept. So all the rest of the school districts across the state are not necessarily supporting the concept of supportive decision making or what we call transferring of educational rights. You know, that's the language. But that might change.
Judge Marquis, are you aware of any efforts to try to pitch or sell this the supported decision-making agreements to the school district and to the schools?
I am not aware of any efforts with the school district and the schools. I know that it is an effort that Legal Aid makes, and maybe they can talk to you a little bit more about what they do when they speak to their clients and their clients' families.
Well, I mean, when we're talking, I thought we were talking about the school district. So we don't have a lot when it comes to the adult cases between.
Who's speaking, please?
Deborah Bookout.
Hi, Deborah. You're so far away from at the end of the table. I thought that was you, but I wasn't entirely sure.
When we get the adult cases, the adults between the ages of 18 and 21. We have conversations with our clients and sometimes with their families separately or at the same time to discuss alternatives to guardianship if that is something that they think is available. And one of the options we discuss are supported decision making. But we have not been in a position to have conversations with school personnel or the district personnel about those options prior to the petition filing. So, there probably needs to be some education to this districts about the supportive decision-making agreements. But that's not something that we've taken on at this point. Our conversations are generally with the family, our clients.
We have, however, with our education folks, just hot off the presses, prepared a 22-page kind of little booklet, Approaching Adulthood, a Toolkit for Families with Children with Disabilities. And we're piloting it with Opportunity Village and their parents to see how, you know, kind of before we release it broadly, to see how useful they find it, if they have suggestions for it. A section of it is their educational rights up until the age of 22. A section is alternatives to guardianship. What is guardianship when it is needed? Because the school district is a major problem in terms of misinformation given to parents. They're saying you need a guardianship when they don't. And then if they do need a guardianship, they're not telling them. So we're getting it on both, you know, both angles. So we're hoping this book helps, but we were just approached by Assemblywoman Neal, who wanted to do a BDR, maybe even requiring the school district to be more engaged with their families about these issues. So I'm happy to send the link to this book. Again, it's on our website already, but we're trying to pilot it with some families first, just to... Some of it's a little dense.
That'd be very helpful. Be very helpful. Sharing the link, that'd be great.
Will do.
Dr. Schreiner, are you?
So this isn't something that I have seen, given that I'm only doing the minor guardianships. So I think probably Judge Walker has. I don't know, Mallory, not to call on you, but this has not come up with the minors. Far in my 9 months.
With the implementation, the Washoe County School District's implementation of the supported decision making agreement, we have had a marked drop in cases of young people coming in just based on the referral of a school district. Now with our younger population, it is because there's an accompanying significant disability.
Great. Okay. Are there any other comments regarding this topic? Okay, Ms. Richards, you'd asked that I put on the agenda U.S. Senate Bill 591. Would you care to share with the commission why and that bill, and we'll chat a moment.
Thank you, Judge. Sharon kindly updated the number for me since this died in the last Senate session. It's been reintroduced, but essentially it's a bill that's been proposed as the Guardianship Accountability Act of 2019. It has three main purposes, which are to designate a national online resource center on guardianship, authorize grants for the purpose of developing state guardianship databases, and establish procedures for sharing background check information related to appointed guardians with other jurisdictions. I thought this might be something important to support, especially because of the possibility of additional grant funding and the possibility of developing additional information through a state guardianship database, which may or may not be headed up by our guardianship compliance office in the future if it passes.
And what action would you like the commission to take?
Judge, I was hoping that the commission might consider authorizing a letter of support of the bill to our congressional representatives.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments from commissioners about the bill?
The bill is one very much like one that was submitted a few years before that, and this bill has been sent to the Senate Judiciary Committee on February 27th of 2019, where it has sat. So I worry that.
Well, they're kind of busy confirming.
Yes.
You've got a lot of judges you got to confirm, so they don't have time to get around to guardianship bills. But What is the pleasure of the commission? Okay, I don't hear a motion or anyone requesting action be taken. So we'll pass on this for now. With that, is there any public comment in, yes, in Carson City? Yes, Homer.
I wanted to congratulate Jennifer Richards on her first day as the attorney for the rights of older persons, persons with a physical disability and intellectual disability or a related condition. And I know that title because it was mine, and I'm so excited for her to be at ADSD. And I think she's going to be amazing. So I wanted to congratulate her.
You bet. Congratulations, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Yes, Danielle.
Tanya Reed, for the record, I have a comment from the Rules Subcommittee, if I may.
Yes, please.
To my Rules Subcommittee members, in December, I think it was around December 23rd, Sharon had kindly reissued the list of rules that still remain in progress. John and I have had some discussions about trying to reconvene our subcommittee and questioning what new work might need to be done, but I would just like to state that a preference would be that the outstanding work be reviewed and completed. I think if everybody on the subcommittee would please look at that, and if you don't have it, ask Sharon. She's done a good job of showing the rule in its current state and the commitment that the drafter has made to revise it. Some of these rules remain outstanding from 2018. And it's difficult for me to recommend reconvening our subcommittee to add more work when our outstanding work is still really outstanding. So if everybody on the subcommittee would please take the time to take a look at that and see what work might be within your responsibility for either completion, revision, or recommendation to move forward or the record. We've talked about trying to complete a lot of our work via email, and I think with the draft rules, that would be a great way to go. So I'm hoping maybe by March 1st, if everybody could do that and let us know what the status of your outstanding rule is, then we can put a plan together for how we either advance completed work back up to the commission, whether we need to convene to look at some new work or whether we need to table our work that we're in progress with. So that would be my request.
Okay. Any other general comments? I did have one I wanted to pass on. The one pending item in front of the Supreme Court is the mediation manual. During the December timeframe, I had reached out to, we'd received a number of comments from Margaret Crowley, and as a result of that, I reached out to Hank and asked him to provide comments. We have now taken many of those and edited the manual. Hank, I'm going to send the red line out to you and to Margaret. And Barbara, if you or your team could take a look at that also, I'll send it out to you as well. And then hopefully we can get it back in front of the court either at their February 12th or February 19th conference to wrap up that pending item.
Yes.
All right. One final point, unless there is any public comment in Las Vegas. Was there any public comment in Las Vegas? All right, seeing none, I mentioned earlier in relationship to the jurisdictional edits to the statutes, to the extent that members of the commission believe that there should be further statutory amendments to the guardianship statutes, if it is to go through the commission, you need to alert Sharon that you are concerned about a particular area or subject matter. And if there are several, then what I'll do is call a special meeting just to address proposed legislative changes by themselves, maybe sometime in June or so, or July, to get them in front of the Judicial Council. to join with this other piece of legislation. I would say that I hope that if whatever requests you all have, that it is a really big deal and quite material, because I think we have legislative fatigue on this subject matter. And not that they aren't responsive and willing to consider these things, but this next session is going to be full of little subjects like redistricting and a few other topics that show up at the beginning of every decade. So trying to get three or four more amendments to the guardianship statutes might be a significant chore this session. But doesn't mean we shouldn't put it on our radar if one thinks it's important to deal with. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we conclude our meeting? Well, it's 5 minutes to five. We're early. Thank you all for your service and for your contributions today, and we'll look forward to visiting with you soon and expect to get an email from Sharon on this proposed legislation, and please vote on it promptly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.